This is side one of Through the Year with Pope Francis, Daily Reflections. Your reader for this section is Carl Belish. The introduction to the book. Pope Francis' election to the as leader of the Catholic Church was shocking. An unexpected and almost unprecedented resignation by Pope Benedict XVI gave way to the election of our first Argentinian and Jesuit pope. Few had heard of, and even fewer knew much about Cardinal Jorge Maria Bergoglio, but the reaction to his first few moments as Pope Francis were electric and caused a storm of media attention and commentary. This unanticipated beginning has been superseded by the actions and words of the Pope during his papacy. Pope Francis is a wonderful communicator. Like many great speakers, he does not always say something new, but rather something familiar in a way that gives a new clarity and insight. So what is his message? Like popes before him, Pope Francis proclaims the message of Jesus, the message of the gospel, a message that is, at times, alarming, comforting, unbelievable, simple, radical, and even somehow all of these things simultaneously. In his disarming and engaging way, Pope Francis allows us to hear this wonderful, to hear this powerful message afresh once again. This book of reflections will help you to explore this message in small portions suitable for prayer. Think of it as your daily protein shake or energy shot of the gospel message, according to Pope Francis. The material is set up so that you can not only read the words of Pope Francis, but also reflect on their meaning for your life as you consider the questions that follow each meditation. St. Francis de Sales, one of the great spiritual directors among the saints, offers six steps to prayer that can allow you to enter more deeply from meditation and conversation with the Lord. The first step is place yourself in the presence of God. Remember that God is near you. Take a moment to invite Him into your time of prayer. Meet Him as if you were meeting a friend. Step two, ask God for His assistance. Ask that He would help in your meditation. Pray that God uses this time to draw you closer to Him. Step three, read over a passage of Scripture or some other spiritual work. In this case, your spiritual reading will be the words of Pope Francis, but also consider supplementing this with the Scripture, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, or other spiritual reading. Step four, take some time to reflect and think over what you have read. Your goal is not necessarily to learn something, but to enter more deeply into a relationship with Jesus and to understand yourself and God more intimately. Listen to what God is trying to tell you. Step five, have a conversation with God about your reflections and thoughts. In this step, you want to ask yourself, What stood out to you in your spiritual reading? What is God trying to tell you through what you just read? What feelings arise in your heart? Talk to God about these things. And the sixth step, and the last one, conclude your time in prayer. In your conclusion, St. Francis recommends thanking God for your time in prayer, making petitions for yourself and others, and developing a practical resolution. Take what insights you have gained and apply them to your life in a practical way. For instance, do you need to be more faithful to prayer? Do you need to forgive someone? As St. Francis and many other spiritual writers make clear, there is no perfect method or process for prayer, which is ultimately the work of the Holy Spirit. The reflections I have provided following the Pope's words are only meant to serve as prompts toward prayer. Use them when you find them helpful, but don't be afraid to allow the Spirit to move you wherever He wishes. May Pope Francis' words lead all of us to a deep relationship with God and a greater understanding of how to live His mission in our lives. With hope in the divine will, Kevin Conner wrote this October 1st, 2013, on the Feast of St. Therese of the Child Jesus. Now, this book is set up so that every day of the year there's a quote from from Pope Francis and then a reflection. And this first January 1st, and it's entitled The Gaze of the Lord. I ask you, this is Pope Francis, I ask you, how do you abide in the presence of the Lord? When you visit the Lord, when you look at the tabernacle, what do? Without speaking, but I speak, I talk, I think, I meditate, I listen. Very good. But do you let yourself be looked at by the Lord? Letting ourselves be gazed upon by the Lord. He looks at us, and this is itself a way of praying. Do you let yourselves be gazed upon by the Lord? But how do you do this? You look at the tabernacle, and you let yourselves be looked at. It is simple. It is a bit boring. I fell asleep. Fall asleep, then. Sleep. He is still looking at you, but know for sure that He is looking at you. This is from Pope Francis' address on September 27, 2013. And the reflection that's offered by the editor of this book. Spend some time in the Lord's gaze. How does He view you? What does He think about your life? Then the reflection for January the 2nd is entitled, Open Yourself to Him. Christ's love and His friendship are not an illusion. Jesus on the cross shows how real they are, nor are they the privilege of a few. You will discover this friendship and feel its full fruitfulness and beauty if you seek it with sincerity, open yourselves to Him with trust, cultivate your spiritual life with perseverance, receiving the sacraments, meditating on sacred scripture, praying assiduously, and living with a deep involvement in the Christian community. This is a quotation from the Pope's message on June the 21st, 2013. And the reflection that the author offers, what's one practical thing you can do to strengthen your relationship with Jesus this week? Use Pope Francis' example as a starting point. Then the reflection, dated January the 3rd, its title is The Powerful Name of Jesus, and this is being preached or written about on the Feast of the Most Holy Name of Jesus. In a homily at the Domus Sancte Marte, Pope Francis spoke of an employee, the father of 8 children, who had worked in the bishop's office in Buenos Aires for 30 years. And now here's the quote from the Pope. Before going out, before going to do any of the many things he had to do, he would whisper to himself, Jesus. I once asked him, why do you keep saying Jesus? When I say Jesus, this humble man answered me, I feel strong. I feel able to work because I know He is beside me, that He is preserving me. This man had not studied theology. He had only the grace of baptism and the power of the Spirit. His witness did so much good for me. The name of Jesus, there is no other name. That's from the Pope Francis homily at the Domus Sancte Maria, Domus Sancte Marte, which was preached on April the 5th, 2013. And the reflection offered by the author is, according to the letter to the Hebrews, Jesus forever lives to intercede for us. Call on Jesus' name when you need His help. Then the reflection for January 4th is entitled Prayer of the Heart. I ask you all, but reply in the silence of your heart, not aloud, do I pray? Do I speak with Jesus? Or am I frightened of silence? Do I allow the Holy Spirit to speak in my heart? Do I ask Jesus, what do you want me to do? What do you want from my life? This is training. Ask Jesus, speak to Jesus, and if you make a mistake in your life, if you should fall, if you should do something wrong, don't be afraid. Jesus, look at what I have done. What must I now do? Speak continually with Jesus in the good times and in the bad, when you do right and when you do wrong. Do not fear him. This is prayer. That's from Pope Francis' address to the World Youth Day on July the 27th in 2013. And the reflection offered by our author, what scares you about prayer? Silence? Your sins? In your heart, talk to Jesus as a friend about what is going on in your life. Then the reflection for January the 5th is entitled The Image of God. What is the image we have of God? Perhaps he appears to us as a severe judge or someone who curtails our freedom and the way we live our lives. But the scriptures everywhere tell us that God is the living one, the one who bestows life and points the way to fullness of life. That is a quote from the Pope's homily delivered on June the 16th, 2013. And the reflection, what is your image of God? Is he a God who is alive and who cares for you? Trust that he is leading you to the fullness of life. And for January the 6th, the title of this section is The Fear of God's Newness. Newness always makes us a bit fearful because we feel more secure if we have everything under control, if we are the ones who build, program, and plan our lives in accordance with our own ideas, our own comfort, our own preferences. The newness which God brings into our life is something that actually brings fulfillment, that gives true joy, true serenity, because God loves us and desires only our good. This is from the Pope's homily at a Mass with the Ecclesial Movements on Pentecost, May 19th, 2013. And the reflection offered by our author, who is in control of your life, you or God? How can you invite the newness of God into your life right now? Then the reflection for January the 7th is entitled The Merciful Father. God always thinks with mercy. Do not forget this. God always thinks mercifully. He is the merciful Father. God thinks like the father waiting for the son and goes out to meet him. He spots him coming when he is still far off. And what does this mean? That he went every day to see if his son was coming home. This is our merciful Father. It indicates that he was waiting for him with longing on the terrace of his house. That was preached by the Pope at a general audience on March the 27th, 2013. And the reflection offered by our author, if God is like the merciful Father in the parable of the prodigal son, what is God waiting for you to do in your life right now? The reflection for January the 8th is entitled Tidy Christians. One of the characteristics of those stuffy, neat, and tidy Christians, of these hypocrites and those whitewashed tombs, is that they are always criticizing others, always speaking ill of others, whether family members, neighbors, or co-workers. In the back of their minds, they are simply repeating what the Pharisee said as he stood in front of the altar. I thank God that I am not like this or like that. They are repeating the words of a famous tango that says, shame on you, neighbor, for wearing white after you have sinned. Yet they themselves are criticizing. This is the first characteristic of a stuffy, neat, and tidy Christian, of a hypocrite, of a Pharisee, always feeling the need to criticize others. That's the quotation from the Pope's homily called Only Love Can Save Us, and this homily was delivered on September 24th, 2011. The reflection offered by our author: what causes you to criticize others? How can you give this struggle over to Jesus? For January the 9th, the title is Part-Time Christians. We are not Christian part-time, only at certain moments, in certain circumstances, in certain decisions. No one can be Christian in this way. We are Christians all the time, totally. That was preached at his general audience on May the 15th, 2013. And the reflection offered by our author: when do you find it hard to be Christian? What is God calling you to do about these situations? And the quote, passage for January the 10th is called A Culture of Encounter. When leaders in various fields ask me for advice, my response is always the same: dialogue, dialogue, dialogue. The only way for individuals, families, and societies to grow, the only way for the life of peoples to progress, is via the culture of encounter, a culture in which all have something good to give and all can receive something good in return. Others always have something to give me. If we know how to approach them in a spirit of openness and without prejudice, today, either we take the risk of dialogue or risk the culture of encounter, or we all fail. Pardon me, or we all fall. This is the path that will bear fruit. This is a quotation from his address given on July the 27th, 2013. And the reflection: what can you do specifically to encourage a culture of encounter and dialogue with the people you interact with every day? What conversations do you need to have? Pardon me. Then the entry for January the 11th, pardon me, is entitled Bigger Than the World Cup. Jesus offers us something bigger than the World Cup. Something bigger than the World Cup. Jesus offers us the possibility of a fruitful life, a life of happiness. He also offers us a future with Him, an endless future, an eternal life. That is what Jesus offers us. But He asks us to pay admission, and the cost of admission is that we train ourselves to get in shape so that we can face every situation in life untaunted, bearing witness to our faith. This is his address given on World Youth Day on July 27, 2013. The reflection: what is your World Cup? What competes with Jesus in your life? Where do you need to get in shape? The passage for January 12th is entitled Pope Francis' Father. My father went to Argentina as a young man full of illusions of making it in America, and he suffered in the dreadful recession of the 1930s. They lost everything. There was no work, and in my childhood I heard talk of this period at home. I never saw it. I had not yet been born, but I heard about this suffering at home. I heard talk of it. I know it well. However, I must say to you, courage. Nevertheless, I am also aware that for my own part, I must do everything to ensure that this term, courage, is not a beautiful word spoken in passing. May it not be merely the smile of a courteous employee, a church employee, who comes and says, "Be brave." No, I don't want this. I want courage to come from within and to impel me to do everything as a pastor, as a man. We must all face this challenge with solidarity among you, also among us. We must all face with solidarity and intelligence this historic struggle. That was his address, meeting with workers on September 22, 2013. And the reflection offered by our editor, what gives you courage? How do you find courage when you are afraid or worried? Only in the Lord can we find true courage. Ask Him for it and help others to find it. Then the passage for January 13th is entitled, Draw Near to God. I would also like to say to anyone who feels far away from God and the church, to anyone who is timid or indifferent, to those who think they can no longer change, the Lord calls you too to become part of His people, and He does this with great respect and love. He invites us to be part of His people, the people of God. This was from his general audience on June the 12th, 2013. And the reflection offered by our editor, in the letter of James we read, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Ask God for the wisdom to take steps toward Him. The passage for January the 14th is entitled, A Gift from God. In the Gospel, Jesus tells Nicodemus that he needs to be born from on high, from water and from the Spirit, in order to enter the kingdom of God. It is through baptism that we are introduced into this people, through faith in Christ, a gift from God that must be nourished and cultivated throughout our life. This is from his general audience on June the 12th, 2013. And the reflection, in baptism and in all of the sacraments of the church, the Lord gives us an abundant amount of grace, but we must receive and use this grace. How can you cultivate God's gift to you? Can you take time to pray after Mass? Can you invite someone to Mass? The passage for January the 15th is entitled, Stealing from the Poor. Let us remember well, however, that whenever food is thrown out, it is as if it were stolen from the table of the poor, from the hungry. I ask everyone to reflect on the problem of the loss and waste of food, to identify ways and approaches which, by seriously dealing with this problem, convey solidarity and sharing with the underprivileged. This is a quote from his general audience, given on June the 5th, 2013. And the reflection offered, in America, we waste over 40% of our food. How might you use food in a way that both respects this gift of God and also frees up some of your resources to help feed the poor? For January the 16th, what does it mean to be a spiritual being? When we say that a Christian is a spiritual being, we mean just this. The Christian is a person who thinks and acts in accordance with God, in accordance with the Holy Spirit. But I ask myself, and do we think in accordance with God? Do we act in accordance with God? Or do we let ourselves be guided by the many other things that certainly do not come from God? Each one of us needs to respond to this in the depths of his or her heart. This was from his general audience on May the 8th, 2013. And the reflection offered by our author, in what areas of your life do you think with the mind of the world rather than in the accordance with God? For January 17th, the sins of the faithful. Still today some say, Christ, yes, the church, no. Like those who say, I believe in God, but not in priests. In those who make up the church, pastors and faithful, there are shortcomings, imperfections, and sins. The Pope has these too, and many of them. But what is beautiful is that when we realize we are sinners, we encounter the mercy of God who always forgives. Never forget it. God always pardons and receives us into his love of forgiveness and mercy. This was delivered at his general audience on May the 29th, 2013. In the reflection, whom is God asking you to forgive? Someone in the church, your family, yourself? For January 18th, this is entitled Manifested in Love. Love shares everything it has and reveals itself in communication. There is no true faith that is not manifested in love. And love is not Christian love if it is not generous and concrete. A decidedly generous love is a sign of faith and an invitation to faith. That's from a Lenten letter that he wrote, entitled Only Love Can Save Us, and it was this date, it's February the 22nd, 2012. And the reflection given, choose one concrete and generous way to love someone today. January the 19th is entitled I Am a Sinner. Jesus doesn't want us to follow a path of self-sufficiency. In order to be good Christians, we need to recognize that we are sinners. If we don't recognize we're sinners, then we're not good Christians. This is the first condition, but it must be specific. I am a sinner because of this, because of that. This is the first condition for following Jesus. That's entitled Only Love Can Save Us. His homily delivered on September 24th, 2011. And the reflection offered, think about your thoughts, words, and actions this last week. When have you sinned? The passage for January the 20th is entitled With Truth and Sincerity. Letting Christ make us as his own always means straining forward to what lies ahead, to the goal of Christ. And it also means asking oneself with truth and sincerity, what have I done for Christ? What am I doing for Christ? What must I do for Christ? This is from his homily delivered on July the 31st, 2013. And the reflection offered, in the silence of your heart, think about the questions that the Pope Francis has asked. The passage for January the 21st is called Daily Martyrdom. This is the Feast of St. Agnes. But what does it mean to lose one's life for the sake of Jesus? This can happen in two ways, explicitly by confessing the faith, or implicitly by defending the truth. Martyrs are the greatest example of losing one's life for Christ. However, there is also a daily martyrdom, which may not entail death, but is still a loss of life for Christ by doing one's duty with love, according to the logic of Jesus, the logic of gift, of sacrifice. This was given, pardon me, at his Angelus address on June the 23rd, 2013. And the reflection offered, how can the logic of Jesus change the way you see your life? What daily martyrdom is God asking you to offer up to him? The passage for January the 22nd is to pray for the unborn. In a frail human being, each one of us is invited to recognize the face of the Lord, who in his human flesh experienced the indifference and solitude to which we often condemn the poorest of the poor, whether in developing countries or in wealthy societies. Every child who, rather than being born, is condemned unjustly to being aborted, bears the face of Jesus Christ, bears the face of the Lord, who even before he was born, and then just after birth, experienced the world's rejection. This is from his address given on September 20th, 2013. And the reflection offered, today marks the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion in the United States. Pray and fast for the end of abortion in the world. The passage for January the 21st is entitled Seeking Us. God created us so that we might live in a profound relationship of friendship with Him. And even when sin broke off this relationship with Him, with others, and with creation, God did not abandon us. The entire history of salvation is the story of God who seeks out human beings, offers them His love, and welcomes them. This was delivered at his general audience on May the 29th, 2013. And the reflection, Jesus wants a profound relationship with you. Have you entered into a relationship with Jesus before? Commit or recommit your life to Him. The passage for January the 24th is entitled, Like Mary. This is the Feast of Our Lady of Peace. Mary is the woman who welcomes and accompanies. Mary is the woman who welcomes and accompanies life to the end, amid all life's difficulties and all life's joys. Mary is the woman who, in a day like today, welcomes life and accompanies it to its fullness. But her work is not over yet, because she continues to accompany us in the life of the Church, so that it may go forward. She is a woman of silence, of patience, who bears pain, faces difficulty, and yet knows how to rejoice deeply in the joy of her Son. This was from his homily, which is entitled, Only Love Can Save Us, and it was delivered on the Feast of the Annunciation, March the 25th, 2011. The reflection offered, Like Mary, how can you face the difficulties of this world while still having joy? What difficulty do you face now? For January 25th, selection is entitled One Weapon. This is the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. St. Paul has but one weapon, the message of Christ and the gift of his entire life for Christ and for others. It is precisely this readiness to lay himself open, personally, to be consumed for the sake of the gospel, to make himself all things to all people, unstintingly, that gives him credibility and builds up the Church. This is from the Pope's homily delivered on June the 29th, 2013. And the reflection, would people know that you are a Christian by your daily example? In what one area can you grow so that your daily life witnesses to your faith? January 26th, the poor and for the poor. Francis of Assisi, for me, he is the man of poverty, the man of peace, the man who loves and protects creation. These days we do not have a very good relationship with creation, do we? He is the man who gives us this spirit of peace, the poor man. How would I like a church which is poor and for the poor? That's not a question. That has an exclamation point. How I would like a church which is poor and for the poor. This is his address delivered on March the 16th, 2013. And the reflection? St. Francis of Assisi became a saint in stages, not all at once. Ask him to pray for you so that you grow in love for the poor and for the Church as the Church of the poor. January 27th is entitled Our Conscience. This is why we must learn to listen to our conscience more. But be careful. This does not mean following my own ego, doing what interests me, what suits me, what I like. It is not this. The conscience is the interior place for listening to the truth, to goodness, for listening to God. It is the inner place of my relationship with Him, the one who speaks to my heart and helps me to discern, to understand the way I must take, and once the decision is made, to go forward, to stay faithful. This is from the Pope's Angelus Address, given on June 30th, 2013. And the reflection offered, when you have questions that hinge on matters of conscience, do you find the books and mentors who can help you to think according to the mind of the Church? Ask God for the grace to do this, regardless of the consequences. The passage for January 28th is entitled, He is with you. Some people might think, I have no particular preparation. How can I go and proclaim the gospel? My dear friend, your fear is not so very different from that of Jeremiah, as we have just heard in the reading when he was called by God to be a prophet. And he quotes, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. End of quote. And God says the same thing to you as he says to Jeremiah. Quotation, Be not afraid, for I am with you to deliver you. That's from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 and 8. He is with us. This is the homily that the Pope delivered on World Youth Day at the closing Mass on July the 28th, 2013. And the reflection offered by our author, What do you fear when you think about proclaiming the gospel? Ask God to be with you and find someone to help equip you for the task. The passage for January the 29th is entitled Dream of Great Things. Have you thought about the talents that God has given you? Have you thought of how you can put them at the service of others? Do not bury your talents. Set your stakes on great ideals, the ideals that enlarge the heart, the ideals of service that make your talents fruitful. Life is not given to us to be jealously guarded for ourselves, but is given to us so that we may give it in return. Dear young people, have a deep spirit. Do not be afraid to dream of great things. This was delivered at his general audience on April 24, 2013. And the reflection offered, What talents has God given you? Tell God about your dreams of using them for others and for Him. The passage for January the 30th is entitled, A Great Yes. The commandments are not a litany of prohibitions. You must not do this, you must not do that, you must not do the other. On the contrary, they are a great yes, a yes to God, to love, to life. That was delivered on his homily on June the 16th, 2013. And the reflection, It's easy to see God as a rule giver and to fear his punishments. But when we see him as a loving father, it can completely change our perspective. Where is God asking you to follow him out of love and not fear? The passage for January the 31st. Is called Crossing the Deserts of Life. Man, of every time and place, desires a full and beautiful life, just and good, a life that is not threatened by death, but can still mature and grow to fullness. Man is like a traveler who, crossing the deserts of life, thirsts for the living water, gushing and fresh, capable of quenching his deep desire for light, love, beauty, and peace. We all feel this desire, and Jesus gives us this living water. He is the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father, and whom Jesus pours out into our hearts. And he quotes here from St. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, Jesus tells us. That was from his general audience on May the 8th, 2013. What desires are in your heart today? Ask God to fulfill them in this way. This is the end of side one, continuing on side two.